Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, tonight you have drawn us by your Holy Spirit to come into your presence, Father, and to feed off your word. Lord, give us ears and hearts that they may be open and receptive, Father, to your word, and that we may be ministered to not by man, but by the Holy Spirit and the anointing that you have set over your people in these last days. I pray, Father, everyone who's entered into the room tonight will be blessed. And we thank you now, Father, for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, tonight I want to speak about the warning to be watchful. And there's much in the Bible about being watchful. And we have teachings on this from time to time. But as I was doing this, you can't be watchful unless you are really looking out for something, unless you are expecting something. And this has to really be put into our hearts by faith. So we can talk about warnings to be watchful, but unless we are really watching and there's something very specific, then that really is not going to be in us. It's simply going to be just a teaching, just a word, theology. But it's not going to be our experience. And like all things, God wants us to experience the word because it's living, it's alive. Hallelujah. And so tonight, we're going to open up the scriptures and we're going to look at Luke 21, verse 29 to 38. Luke 21, verses 29 to 28. And here, Jesus opens up with the parable of the fig tree. And then he moves on to the importance of watching. And I've incorporated the parable of the fig tree because it's right in the same context of being watchful. Now, of course, the fig tree speaks of Israel. So our watchfulness, our eye, is upon Israel, the Middle East. Now, it says here, then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. So here is where we're admonished to be watchful. And our watchfulness is dealing with seasons. And it speaks about when the fig tree gives forth its fruit, it buds. And you know yourselves that summer is now near. And it says, so also when these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. So we see in conjunction with this, we discern the bud, the fruit that comes forth from the fig tree. And also it says to us that when you see that, the kingdom of God is very near. Because we have to remember that Jesus is coming to establish his kingdom. The message that we preach now in the last day is the message of the kingdom of God. It's not a denominational message. It's not because we're Baptist or Lutheran or whatever. It's a message of the kingdom and that which pertains to the kingdom. And he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And so, like always, dealing with the earth, dealing with these temporal things, he reveals that even though the kingdom of God is going to come for 1,000 years upon the earth, to rule and reign, that will even pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. And that is why we make so much about the word of God, because the word of God feeds us, it teaches us, it's our spiritual food, it's our life. And so Jesus clearly says there that the word of God by no means will pass away. And then we carry on in verse 34. And this is the part that I have to speak about where the warning to be watchful. And he says, take to yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness of this life, and that that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all things who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So here he gives us some very deep clues as to being watchful. Now remember I said to you, we can't really watch unless in our hearts we're actually watching out for something. And so we have to move by faith in this. This isn't just some suggestion or just some teaching that the Lord's coming and that we're to be watchful, which so often is what you hear. There has to be a move of the Spirit within your life and heart and the churches that is preparing us, moving towards an active watchfulness in these last days. And he says, but take heed to yourselves that your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly. And of course, we can really glean from this with the times of Noah, when he was led by God to build the ark, and only he and his family went in. The rest of them, of course, were too busy living their lives, marrying and giving in marriage and drinking, carousing. And so we see a similarity here. And of course, we're now living in a generation where there is so much abundance, opulence that feeds the flesh. It's just unbelievable. You don't have to look far where it's promoting man's self-ego. And you can buy pretty well anything you want that can minister to the flesh. We've got it in absolute abundance. Our shops are filled with things that try to keep us away from the coming of the Lord and so on. Now, of course, it doesn't say that we can't buy anything or anything. That's not what I'm really saying. But the warning here is that we can get so caught up in the world, in its ways, that we start to lose sight that the Lord is actually coming soon. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point of this. And he goes on, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So the coming of the Lord speaks of many as a snare. Now for the overcomer, it's going to be good news. It's going to be a blessing because they're being led by the Spirit in being prepared for looking, watching, praying and so on. But for the rest of the world, we're told that it's going to be a snare for them. In other words, there's going to be a tremendous fear of God in those days. And it goes on in verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, what does it say there? It doesn't say that if you go to church regularly and that you listen to the word regularly, that is going to work to your favor in which you will be able to stand before the Son of Man. No, Jesus appeals to a very important ministry that the Christian is to have, and that is prayer. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And you know, sadly, this lacks among our circles. You know, it's so easy to be able to go to church and just say a few prayers and to sit back and be entertained and to be able to be given the word. And yes, it's a blessing. Yes, we can take it in. But are we putting into prayer those things that we receive by the word of God? Because unless we do that, we're never going to be watchful, as it says here. The preaching, the teaching that we receive through the word and the convictions that we receive through the word should draw us into prayer, seeking God. This is how a Christian grows. And many Christians are not really growing and maturing because they never really take what they hear in the word. They take it into prayer, pray about it, talk it out with God, seek the Lord and so forth. And this is absolutely vital. And we're told that if we do this, then this starts to make us watchful. it starts to work a spiritual watchfulness about us. Because remember, we're to watch the Middle East, we're to watch Israel, the fig tree. But none of these things can really be done unless you are a man or woman of prayer. And the only way you can do this is if you don't really have a prayer life, ask God that he will put this into your life, into your heart. Because prayer isn't a drudge. Prayer is not what the enemy tries to tell us. I think the enemy likes to keep our lives busy, 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 so that we can't actually pray. You see, when you pray, it means you actually go into your closet. You know, it's very easy to hear the word of God because you can just switch your computer on and you can do your ironing or do the washing up, or you can stick a tape CD in the car and listen to the word as you're driving. All of that has its place, but it's a substitute to Christians seeking God and going into their closet and praying about those very things that they hear, that they're challenged with in the Word of God. That is what makes you watchful. That is what changes the inner man along with the Word that we receive. Hallelujah. Well, then it goes on in verse 37. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Well, he probably stayed on Olivet all night because Jesus often was a man of prayer who would pray all night. Now, you may say to yourself, I could never do that. My life is just too complicated. I couldn't pray all night. It's impossible. Well, never limit God. If you truly want to pray, you will be absolutely blessed sometimes if you have prayer, and sometimes the Holy Spirit can take you through the night to the early hours where you're praying and interceding. There is such a blessing in this, and you really move so close to God that you can sometimes almost touch him. But how the enemy tries to stop the saints of God from praying in these last days. And he knows why, because the enemy knows that by praying, it's going to keep you watchful, looking, discerning, seeing the times that we live in. So this warning is then to be watchful. And this also incorporates, as I've been saying, our prayer life. Let's turn also now to Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, and verse 41. Hallelujah. 26:41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And of course, the Lord was indicating to the disciples that unless they prayed, intercede, and prayed with him, they would go at that hour of temptation and trial, in which, of course, they did. When they came for the Lord, they fled in fear. I'm convinced that if they had stayed with God, the Lord, and been in prayer with him, praying, interceding, they would not have fled like they did. But because they didn't really pray, the flesh was strong, they got tired, and they wanted to sleep more. So when the hour of trial really came, they revealed it in their heart was fear. So again, we get a clear indication that the power of prayer and intercession helps to stop us running away from those things that we might fear, helps us to stay in a situation, in a trial. We begin to see the power of prayer in operation. And of course, Jesus prayed as those drops of blood were coming from him. What was he doing in that intercession, in that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was interceding, he was praying the resurrection through by faith. And all he had to do was simply go to the cross and let man put him to the cross. And finally, through death, he was raised. What was he really praying? He was praying through. He was interceding through that resurrection, that the Father would not leave him, but raise him up. Jesus in his flesh had to do exactly the same. How much more in many ways? But the old flesh is weak. And because the flesh is weak, that's why you need to pray and seek God and talk it out with him and ask God, Lord, be stronger, greater than my flesh, my attitudes. And I believe God will show that he is, if you really want it, because all the battles are won in the Garden of Gethsemane. All the battles in your life are won in your spiritual Garden of Gethsemane. And if you've never been there, you will be going there one day in some way, somehow, where you will just pray and intercede and wait until God touches your life. All of this, as I keep saying, is to make us watchful. Your real discernment and testing of spirits cannot really come unless we are having a prayer life. We're interceding and praying. And this, of course, is why in James it tells us it's so important that we pray one for another, that we intercede one for another. And we're to do that. So again, these warnings of prayer are absolutely vital. You see, ministry is to have this prayer. Again, ministers, many ministers I know and have known in the past, they really lack in their ministry prayer. All their study, the word, they've got all the books and everything, but they're not so hot in prayer. And I want to show us something in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, which you know very well, is where the Lord was adding to the church many people, and the apostles, disciples, were getting so inundated with work, this practical work, that it was drawing them away from the essential. And here, seven deacons are chosen in which to serve. And it says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You see, they had picked up what the devil was trying to do. He was trying to get the apostles, disciples away from the word and prayer, so that they were having to work and work up tables, because God was adding to the church, which was a blessing. So they raised up these deacons in which to do this practical help, so that these ministers could be consecrated to prayer and the word. Wish to God we had more ministers today who were committed to this, because they became aware that the devil was trying to hinder and stop them praying in which the word would come forth. If you don't pray, then you have no word. Oh, you can preach a word, but it's not really anointed. That's the point. So they had put first things first, the kingdom of God first, which we're to do. And in their case, they had put word and prayer first above everything else. Again, very practical. But how the devil tries to get ministers, particularly pastors, busy, busy, busy. Phone never be wrong. But when you find that it is drawing you away from prayer and the word which a minister is to put first, then something's very wrong. And you've got to be very covetous over that. You've got to be disciplined in that, because otherwise the ministry will just suffer. Hallelujah. Well, verse 34, it says that the world and its ways start to take over. Remember that we're looking at Luke 21 verses 29 to 38. It says in verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly. See, the world, as I said, in its way, start to take over. And it doesn't take long for the world and its ways to start hitting us, to start drawing us away from putting first things first. That is the kingdom of God. And I don't think there is one in this room that has not been tempted or tried in that area in some time of their Christian life, where you just find you're getting drawn in, you're getting drawn away, getting caught up in the world and its ways and so on. And you just cry out to God that you want to just get apart and just seek God and to get in prayer. And sometimes, you know, we can feel this in our own families, that you may just be the only Christian in a family. And as much as you love your husband, your wife, your children, and so on, you can just find sometimes that they're trying all the time to draw you away from seeking God in prayer and the Word and putting those spiritual things first. And very often that's where our battles lie. And this is why Jesus brought the sword of the Spirit right down in Sorry about that. That's where we meet our biggest trials and tests, is in our family. And only the Holy Spirit can lead and guide you as to what time you give to God and what time you give to your family, your husband, your wife. We can only lay out the principles of that, but I can well assure you that the enemy will try and stop you from having that time with him when you've got to do something for the husband, or maybe sometimes the enemy's working through the husband or the wife, trying to stop you from seeking God, from having your prayer time, of having your meditations in the Word. So again, we are not up against flesh and blood, but we're up against these powers, principalities, that are all the while trying to stop us having this prayer life and being watchful. And the reason being is because if you have this prayer life also combined with the Word of God, this will make you truly watchful. In other words, it's not just a study of being watchful. It's not just something theological. You're actually watchful. God is showing you. He is speaking to you. You are looking. You are being prepared. These are experiences that we should be experiencing for the last days. Amen. Let's turn to Luke 8 and verse 14. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So there, that is what's happening. It's the parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables Jesus ever gave. And there, back in verse 34 of Luke 24, that is exactly what happens, that Jesus warns us to take heed that you don't become caught up in carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life. Now, it doesn't mean to say that you're going to become an alcoholic. He's just using that as a sort of merrymaking, that you just want to have a laugh. You want to have a break. And sometimes we all go through this, where we just feel, I want to have a break. I just want to do something different. I just feel that sometimes this walk is so restrictive, and I just want to go off and do my own thing. That's sometimes what he's telling us to be very careful of, because you can get so drawn in, you can get so drawn away. There's so many things that can draw us away. So again, we have to be on our guard. But have prayer life will keep you close to God. That is the key to this every time. Hallelujah. And so the cares of this life are worried about the news that we hear. Does the news affect you? Do you find that it makes you depressed? Do you find that it seems to be going from bad to worse? Well, I've got news for you, brothers and sisters. That should be no surprise. The Lord has been warning. warning us for years that the news will get worse and worse in the last days? Or are you concerned about your country? Are you concerned about the way it's going and the immorality and the sin and rebellion and the corruption in governments and so forth, which of course is prevalent, is high. As you know, some of you, I've just come back from India. India is one of the most corrupt governments in the country, in the world. The corruption is absolutely amazing. And even the police are corrupt, whether you bribe them and so on. So none of these things should take us by surprise. I'm convinced that bribing, corruption goes on in all governments. It's just packaged in a different way. Somehow in India, it's very blatant and open, whereas in other nations and governments, it's hid away much more. But it's all there. So are we going to let these things affect us? Are you concerned about your finances? Where you're going to be able to pay the bills for next month or in 6 months' time? Again, these are all things that will consume us and take us away from being watchful. And again, if you are a man or woman who has a prayer life, then these things are not going to take you by surprise. Even though you get a huge bill come through through the letterbox, God will be faithful. He will meet it. He will pay it. He is faithful. Are we caught up with family problems? Sometimes problems come. God doesn't want us poking our nose into family problems, which is none of our business. Now, of course, your immediate family, your children or husband, that's a different thing. But he doesn't want you starting to get caught up with uncles and aunts and this problem that's going on. We're not to get caught up in that. Again, it will draw us away from being watchful, you see. Are we anxious about our children? Well, I know that's a big thing. It's one of the hardest things for a mother is to actually let go of her child in that sense by faith and trust God totally for that child. It's not an easy one, and you have to be balanced in this. But God can and will do it. And one has to remember always that God will look after our children far more than we will. But we like to be in control. And if we are in control, then that will affect our prayer life. It draws us away from seeking those things that we should do. So here are these things of the world that can just draw us away that we've seen in verse 34. You see, the day of the Lord will unexpectedly come. But are you too busy to discern? And that's the question. I've already shown you that a prayer life causes you to discern in the last days. And so many of our brothers and sisters, sadly, do not really discern. It's not a true discernment. It's not a discernment that's causing us to be watchful and to be making ourselves ready. That is what true discernment is about. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. But God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So this is to be a comfort, edification, to build us up. But I'm convinced again that none of this can actually be achieved in our lives, the day of the Lord that is approaching, unless we are watchful and we are men and women of prayer and intercession. And again, the warnings are here. But concerning the times, seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. So what I'm saying tonight to you about the end times, what we're seeing, the great falling away, should be no surprise to you. We're seeing it before our very eyes. See, he says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, notice what he says to the Thessalonians. You know perfectly. In other words, he says, I say this with confidence that you know the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. So the Apostle Paul could say this with confidence because the church had already known about it. They were already being prepared. They had heard this. But is this taking some of us by surprise tonight? That is the question. It shouldn't do. And therefore, if we know about this and we're watchful and in prayer, then he's not going to come as a thief in the night. And that's the question. So that gives us an indication of how the Lord is going to come. He's going to come at an hour and at a moment when we least expect it. And that's what thieves do. That's how they come. And we're told that's how the Lord is going to come. Now, I don't know about you, but that throws me completely upon the mercy of God. And that he do whatever it takes in my life that I may be watchful in prayer and ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And he goes on, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor upon a woman and so forth. Well, we're beginning to hear more and more this life, this new age world that they're building, a world of peace, a world of prosperity, a world of blessing, where the state and governments are going to look after you and so forth. That's what's being promoted today worldwide. And he said, when you see all of that, he said, those that are involved in that will not escape. And the reason being is because they're going to realize this utopia they're building is on sand. It's not going to last. And then he goes on in verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that the day should overtake you as a thief. Now, that is a promise there. There is something you can believe for. And say, Father, I'm going to believe, I'm going to trust you that I am not in darkness, but in light, and that your coming should not overtake me as a thief. Now, there is something you can believe for. There is a promise that you can take to yourself. I wonder how many of us have actually claimed that promise as we've sought God. Because I believe it's a promise that's very important. And so he says, you are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Well, then again, there's another promise here. Whatever your life is, whatever you're going through, whatever trial, I'm not of the darkness, I'm of the light. Hallelujah. And if you want to be of the light, then you have to be watchful. And to be watchful, you have to be a man or woman who's also in prayer and intercession, because it all goes together. You can't separate it. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. This, of course, reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, 5 foolish, that go off to sleep, those foolish. Again, you have a prayer life, you're watchful. That's going to keep you awake in these last days, is it not? For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. And this, of course, is what the apostles, the disciples, the night that Jesus was betrayed, which I've already read to you, they slept instead of interceding and praying with the Lord so that they could stand and not run away in fear. Again, the same principle here. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. So our faith, our love, our helmet, which of course also speaks of our warfare, the whole armor. Notice all of this is in the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord, the near coming of the Lord, again, God is going to revive us, which he's doing, and bring us back to a walk of faith and love and spiritual warfare for our salvation. And all of this has been restored and is being restored over these last days. But God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the heart of the Father. It's not his desire that any should meet the wrath of God on that day, but that we should escape, that we should be ready for that thief when he comes. Even though he comes as a thief in that sense, yet our praying, our watchfulness, is causing us to be ready any time, any moment, any day. Now, can God do that? Well, I believe he can, as he wouldn't say this. And again, like all of these things, it can never be achieved in our own efforts, in our own works. This has to be led by the Holy Spirit. As I said at the beginning, to be watchful, it means that you've got to have something that you're watching by faith. It's not just an academic spiritual study. It means that the Holy Spirit is causing me in these last days to be watchful. And that should be your experience. And if that's working in you, then these are clear signs that you are going to escape the day of the Lord, the wrath of God that will come upon the world, which we call the rapture, the snatching away of the saints. And he goes on, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So there's great comfort and edification when we talk about the day of the Lord and that he's coming so soon. But for others who are not paying the cost, there's very little comfort that comes from this. There's actually a fear that is working, an unbelief. We want to sort of run, hide away, because we just know that we're not being prepared to be watchful and looking and so on. But for those who are paying the price, then these words are words of comfort. And that's, if it's comfort to you tonight, then that's a clear sign that God is with you, he's working with you, and he's causing you and I to be watchful and to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's take it a step further. Let's go back to Luke 21, which we're basing our teaching tonight. Luke 21, verses 29 to 28. I want to now take it up in verse 35, where he says, "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." So this snare is a trap, and none will be able to escape the great tribulation. We are, in fact, shown that many will try to kill themselves but won't be able to. There's going to be something about the day of the Lord, the wrath that's coming on the earth, where man will try to run away, but he can't. And so it's like a snare. It's like an animal that's trapped, desperately trying to escape, trying to get away, but won't be able to. So none will be able to escape this great tribulation. And you see, Christians shouldn't be caught up in this. Christians shouldn't be running away. Christians shouldn't be the ones that are running away from God. If anything, we should be running toward him. Whatever's going on in your life, if there's sin that you are battling with, then you've got to defy that running and hiding away from God and run toward him. Now, I think, saints, you can only do this again if you have a prayer life, if you're a man or woman of prayer, because as I said, prayer makes you watchful. And so when sometimes we do miss it, or the Lord is exposing an area in our life, instead of running away from him, we run toward him. And that's what prayer will do. If you are a man or woman of prayer, prayer is going to cause you to run towards God, because you need to talk it out with him. You need to agree with him. You need to be touched by him. And so again, this is another blessing of what prayer will do. But you see, the disciples on the night of Jesus' betrayal, instead of praying, they felt sleepy and went off to sleep. What happened at the point when the soldiers came? Fear caused them to run away. And Jesus was trying to teach them the power of prayer. The reason I believe that at times there's so much sin, unbelief in the churches, is because so many don't really have a prayer life. And this is the big problem. And as I say, people want to listen to the word. They may listen to the word while they're washing up or doing chores around the house. Or as I said earlier, they may put a CD on in the car and listen to the word. And all of that has a place. But unless you take the word which you hear and make it a source of prayer and intercession, you're never really going to grow. You're never going to really have a true discernment of being watchful in these last days. And of course, I appeal to this watchfulness as the fig tree, which of course is looking at Israel primarily. Well, 35, I want us to look now, sorry, at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. Revelation 3 and verse 3, and he says here, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Now here, the Lord is giving away a few things here to this dead church, the church at Sardis. He says, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard." Now what is that telling us? Well, it's telling us, remember how we received the word of God. Remember how we received the deeper life teaching. Remember that God brought us into faith, into the deeper life teaching, and so on. We need to remember these things, because a lot of our brothers and sisters, because they have, or they got short memories, they have left it and gone elsewhere, thinking that where they go, that the grass is greener the other side, and it never is. So we are admonished here to remember what we have received over the 30-odd years, and not to lose sight of this. This is so important, and what you heard. And he says, hold fast and repent. In other words, we need to hold on to what we have heard, and sometimes we've needed to repent because we have compromised in the faith. We've compromised in our stand in areas of faith and so on. So sometimes we've had, whether individually or corporately, we've had to pray. We have had to ask God to forgive us. And it's right in the context here, because he's there, it says, "Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Here again is this watchfulness. And so by staying with what has been given to us, praying, interceding, praying that word, that faith into our hearts, interceding, this causes us to be watchful. And so well, the promise here is that this thief that comes will not come in any surprise to the overcomers, because we're watchful, we're waiting, we're looking, we're prepared. Now, of course, this is a work of grace. This isn't something that you can try and do. This is grace and mercy. And if you want it, then God says, I'll prepare you for it. That's what's so wonderful about the deeper life. The deeper life is, as we know, going through that door into a deeper life in the Spirit. And that deeper life in the Spirit is showing us that at least promises, if you want them. We have a choice, brothers and sisters. I know I do. Because no one in that hour and day wants to remain behind when the day of the Lord and the wrath of God comes upon the earth. It's going to be absolutely horrendous. And also, let's look at Revelation 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they see his shame. Again, he speaks about coming as a thief in the night, and he says, watch your garments. Your garments cover you. Your garments are vital if the Lord is going to come and he sees those garments, because your garments reveal to the Lord that you are ready to be taken up in the rapture. And by the way, we don't need those garments marred. So again, it speaks to me of saints who keep close account with God, who have this prayer life, who come before God, and anything, no matter how small or big it is, they are in prayer, they are seeking God, they are ever covered by the blood of Jesus in a right standing before God. That will also characterize an overcomer. They take it all so seriously because they have had light revelations of the fact that the Lord is coming soon, and no one wants to be left behind in that day, believe me. And then finally, with this teaching, and I'm calling this teaching tonight, warning to be watchful. Let's go back to Luke again. Luke 21. And finally, the last verse, verse 36. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Again, this prayer life is going to cause us to be able to escape, and it's going to work in us to be watchful, ready for the rapture. I want us just to turn to Matthew 25 and verse 3. Matthew 25 and verse 3. 25 verse 3, he says, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And of course, that's the parable of the 10 virgins. So the foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. In other words, they took no extra vessel. And they have revealed themselves to be foolish, to be unwise. One could say that those foolish virgins had never really taken prayer seriously. They love the word, they love the anointing, because you're dealing with lamps, you're dealing with oil. But somewhere along the line, they were not really men and women of prayer. And therefore, it shows us that they weren't really that ready and watchful, because if they were, they'd have taken an extra vessel of oil with them. So the wise virgins see something through being watchful that is needed for the last day to be able to endure, to stay with it, for the final lap. And in many ways, we feel, don't we, at times, we're in that final lap. It's like it's all gone quiet. It's like it's gone dark. It's like sort of, you know, we're just waiting. We're waiting. We're seeking God. We're coming together in prayer and the word and fellowship. But there's going to come an hour, brothers and sisters, when the call, the midnight call, goes forth. And everything that we have been trained for, everything that we have learned, the word that has been taken into our hearts, our prayer life, is suddenly all going to come together. It's going to make sense. It's like it'll be ignited. It's like almost God is showing me that he struck a match and he's just waiting to put that flame to the bonfire where it will suddenly light up. And all of it then will come together. What we have learned, our trials, our overcoming, our delays in faith, our walk of faith, our prayer lives, our intercessions, all of it then is suddenly going to, in a sense, come together. It's going to ignite. It's going to become alive. In other words, your preparation, your labours will suddenly then be seen for what they are. At the moment, we're hid, just like the man-child in the womb. We're hid until the appointed time of the Father, when the world, grown in creation, then will see what God has really been doing behind the scenes. It reminds me of the scriptures. It says that the first should be last and the last should be first. In many ways, in our whole walk at the moment and everything, we appear to be last, the back of the queue. But brothers and sisters, that is going to change. But it will change if we're men and women who are watchful. And if we're not men and women who have a real prayer life, we've really got to ask God to work this in our lives. And he will. Because as you pray and as you seek God and as you hear the word and you pray over the word, this is going to get you to be spiritually watching. In other words, you're active. You're not just doing it because you hear that you're to be watchful, but because the Holy Spirit will be revealing to you. And that's what's so important. You see, these things cannot be revealed by flesh and blood, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to remember that. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for your time. And thank you for coming into the room. And we'll just thank the Lord for his blessing today. Thank you, Father, for putting in our hearts to come into this room. Lord, you are so faithful. Father, you want us to be a people who are watchful and in prayer in these last days. You want us to be prepared by the Holy Spirit and through the word that you give us. And so I pray that this would be for all my brothers and sisters and all those who hear this word. Because, Father, we don't want to be caught out, left behind, even though you are coming as a thief in the night. Yet, through all of that, you want us to be a watchful people. And so, Lord, it is your grace and mercy that will work this in and through us. So I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, till we assemble again. And, Father, that we will be used for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.